So we're continuing on with parables. I got to tell you, I've had a blast going through these. It's cool to look at the way Jesus taught. Man, I think sometimes to his listeners, he gave us more questions than answers. I sometimes try to, and I wasn't raised Jewish, so I can't fully do this, but with my limited understanding of the Jewish culture, I try to listen or read his teachings through their eyes. And through the parables, of course, and then through the teaching of the Mount, I think is another big time. I wonder if how many things that they just scratched their head over as he taught. I mean, and I really think that Jesus did this, you know, he did it to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy about him. But I wonder if God set this up simply so we would question things well after the first teaching. See, I think so often we give you the answer and we hand it to you on a plate and you're like, oh yeah, and you think of it and you walk away. But man, he gave us something to really tear into, to think about. And for this week's parable, as I was preparing, I really had to, because in just a quick reading, it seems so much like the one previous from last week. So if you want to open up to page 834 in your Bibles, we're going to kind of take a look at another parable that looks so much like the one before. So we're going to be in Matthew 13, and we're going to be over at verse 45. And he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered the pearl of great value, he sold, is what's missing in your Bible, everything he owned and bought it. It's so short, two verses. And at face value, when Alex, you know, we've kind of been sharing these teachings and kind of going through who's going to teach what, and we said I was going to do this one, I was like, man, so sure, how am I going to fill X amount of time with that? Until I really started to meditate on how many truths are in this little thing. And the first, I think, question that, you know, as Alex and I were kind of talking through these things, what's the difference between this and the one before it? You know, in the treasure, it was almost the same thing. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. This guy, you know, he came upon, he sold everything he had, and then he had it. The difference between this and the one before is, you know, in the treasure, the dude was just going through life. He wasn't looking for anything. He stumbled upon it. And I think there's people in this life that happens, man. We're just going through life, and somewhere God intercepts us. We weren't looking for him. We weren't looking for Christ to intercept us. We were perfectly happy where we were. But man, he intercepted our life, and we were happy to sell everything we had and to take off after him. But this dude in this parable, in the pearl, he's searching for something. He knew what he was looking for. He may have actually not known exactly what he was looking for, but he knew what he had wasn't what he was looking for. Have you ever been in that place of life? You don't know quite what you want, but what you have is just not fulfilling you. Like that thing inside you of, there's got to be more. And I kind of picture that with this merchant. Excuse me. It's like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. He's a merchant by trade. He's selling and buying every day. But he has the lookout for this one great thing. And I wonder how many good things he came across. How many great things he came across. But none of them were worth him selling everything he owned to purchase. And we go back to almost similar to a month ago when I taught of man, at one point we really need to feel that Christ is worth everything we have. I remember a time in my life when I was searching. I knew there had to be more. I went through life, and I shared that a little bit last time, of, you know, I was a heavy drinker and all that, but man, I was looking into different religions too. I remember thinking that humans have to be capable of more than just this minimalistic life, just going through it. We have to be capable of something just magnificent. I looked into all sorts of weird things, like someone ever listen to like George Norrie like late at night when you're driving? It's a weird dude. I don't really recommend it. Kind of freaks me out to listen to now, but I remember listening to it, and he does weird things like aliens and all that kind of thing. And but then they have on just different weird things. I don't even know what to explain. But I started remember thinking, man, there has to be something great like that. And I started looking into Wicca, different sects of the Jewish religion where the human, they believe the human is capable of certain things. And I got to tell you, as I looked into those things, it left me just as empty. It always came to some end point. It's like it started off really cool, like, oh my gosh, these are really neat. But at some point, it died off. It just wasn't so cool anymore. And I always think about what made them so attractive. What makes other religions so attractive? Because obviously they have thousands or millions of people following after them. And I've come to terms with one thing. All truth is God's truth. That Satan, the counterpart of God, not the counterpart, but the nemesis of God, if you will, he can't create anything. He can only distort and destroy and deceive. God created everything we see. So all truth, all goodness is God's goodness. So even in alternate religions, this is just something I've learned to how I learn to look at things. Even their truth that we deem truth, it's still God's truth. But somewhere in it, it went astray. It was distorted. It took Jesus out of the picture. And it's our job to be able to undistort and show how Jesus is the truth, because that's what I've found. I found that in my life that Jesus was that great pearl. I've come across a lot of other good things, things that look good, things that were shiny. Nothing until Jesus was worth me selling everything I had. So now I almost deem it my mission to go back in my life and look at the times that I got off course, the times I was looking, desperately looking for the truth, for that one thing that gave me the meaning in my life that I know I was made for. And to go back to that time and find people that are in that place and show them the direction that I've found. It'd be wrong of me not to, wouldn't it? To have the answer and keep it to myself. To have found that one great thing. But I think the big point here that I catch as I read this scripture is the idea that this merchant bought the pearl. Bought it. See, I'd been doing the church thing. I knew there was something in it. There was something more than I had viewed anyplace else. So I started doing the church thing. I went down to Cuyahoga Valley over off of 77 there, and I went there for 8 years. And it was good, but I just played with it. I just kind of viewed the whole religion thing from a distance. I went on Sundays, yes. Thought they were good sermons, good teachings. But I remember one time sitting in my living room, and I was reading a book, and the book made a comment something like this, of all the good works I do in life, I don't do so I can get to heaven, but because I know heaven's my home. And some radical change happened in my life at that time. It's the time that I actually bought that pearl. I took ownership of my faith. It stopped being something I just did because it seemed right. because it made me feel good. Let's be honest. Coming here and coming to church on Sunday morning, singing the songs, hearing a sermon, opening up our Bible, it feels good. It's supposed to feel good. It's one of those, I have moments in life where it's just so obvious. I just call them duh moments. And that's what this morning is. It's like, duh, yeah, it's supposed to. But there's more. You don't take ownership just by coming here. You don't have control of your faith just by coming here. By singing some songs. Even by saying Gateway's your church. Even if you come here every Sunday, you give your tithes and offerings, you don't own your faith. You haven't bought it yet. It has to come to a place where you cease going to church and start being the church. If I can get untangled, sorry. And start being the church. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by being the church? Well, Christ gave us an example of the way to live. And of course, we could go back to the good deeds thing of, ah, but I'm living right. But we again go to the purpose to which we live it. See, we can never earn our way into heaven, but are we so thankful for what Christ did for us? Are we so thankful that he took the punishment we deserve, that he reconciled us to the Father, that we devote our lives to him? That's taking ownership of our faith. It's switching what's inside around. See, we're gonna take communion in a few minutes. And we drink the wine and we eat the bread. But what's that all mean? Why do we do that? He said, do it in remembrance of me. But what are we remembering? In the parable, it talks of buying. And of course, we're sharing that at some point we got to make the buy-in. But ultimately, can we really? Can we really make the buy-in? No matter what we do, it's not good enough. We fall short of perfection. It almost sounds bad to say that, doesn't it? Like, you can never be good enough. It makes you feel so not worthy. And there's a level of truth in that, but here's the cool thing. Through what was done, through the shedding of that blood, we gain the identity of Christ. Taking ownership also means taking ownership of our identity within the kingdom of God. Being called a Christian, it means so many, let's just be honest, really bad things anymore. But in reality, what it means is you have Christ's name. You know, to a woman getting married, you take on your husband's name, and you don't do that lightly, do you? You in part take on his identity. You become a family. You fully unite. And being caught by coming to Christ and being called a Christian, that's what happens. You take on his name. You unite. You join in his family. You know, we often think of heaven as someplace far away that we get to go to when we die. You miss it. If that's all you think of is heaven is someplace that we get to go to later on, you're missing it. The whole point of Christ coming here was that it was heaven brought to earth. Heaven is meant for you to start to experience now. The kingdom of heaven isn't to be waited upon. Surely there's a time where it would be perfected. And I don't know about anyone else that knows God, but I am so excited about that time when it's perfected. When the new heaven and the new earth are established. But in the meantime, we get tastes of it now. Do you know that's actually what the word blessing means? It's to taste heaven now. When you get to give a blessing to someone, when you express love in Jesus' name in some way, and you try to be a blessing in their life, it's by showing the eternal to them now. And that's what we're called to be. That's what this whole parable is about to me. It's the kingdom of heaven is like. We keep hearing that. The kingdom is simply this. And this is, I've been studying a lot about the kingdom lately. And this is kind of where I land. The kingdom of heaven is simply as far, it's where God's will reigns. Think of it this way. We all have a kingdom. We all have a kingdom of some sort. We all have some area in which we have control, where we have where our choices impact the way things are done, right? Don't we all have that? And that's basically our kingdom, as far as our choices impact. God's kingdom is where his choices impact. And the weird part is, I'm so sorry about the sound problems. The weird part is he chooses to live his will out, to expand his kingdom through us. That's why this taking ownership thing is so important. If we don't take ownership, his kingdom is not advanced. I don't get why God did that. It's beyond me. Oftentimes, if you pray with me, it's usually one of those big mysteries that I'll pray about. Of God, I don't know. I don't understand why you invited us to join you in the redemption of all of your creation. Think of the magnitude of this call he invited us to join him on. He created a perfect people, a perfect earth, and essentially we destroyed it. We chose to sin. We chose not to act out in perfection, but to break that bond. And he now, the same people that acted out against him, he invites to join him in redeeming it. It doesn't make sense to me as a human being. It just doesn't make sense. But he invites us. And really, as a church, Gateway, that's what we're about. We're about redeeming Cleveland. See, we have to take ownership. As a body of Christ, we have to take ownership of this call. We have to take it, whether people be searching for it like this man was in this parable, we have to show them what the great pearl is. And can we do it in a way without degrading their current belief system? Because I was once lost in searching for the wrong thing as well. So why should I make them feel bad that for their searching? Or be it someone that's just trying to get through life, are we going to be a people that help them stumble upon the truth? That's our call. And I think part of taking ownership and becoming the church is realizing that while we have that call as a community, as an attendee of Gateway, don't wait for Gateway to do it. Don't wait. It's your job given to you by Christ. I have no authority to give you a job. That's kind of the weird thing of being up here. I feel I have no authority whatsoever. There's no reason that I should be up here and you shouldn't be. Any one of you up here have the same exact authority as I do. You have the same exact ability to read into the Bible and see God's truth and experience God's truth as I do. Don't wait to see things on the bulletin. If you know that something needs to be done in Cleveland to impact it in the name of Christ, then do it. Then do it. At bare minimum, connect with one of the leaders and say, can we do this together? Because I understand, man, it gets a little scary to head out on your own. What if I come up with an event and no one attends? I did that. I was doing prayer walks for a while, and there was one Thursday. I was down here alone. So I walked the city alone. And I guess I could let that get me down, but why? I did what I was called to do. And I actually kind of feel bad because I haven't done it in a while, and I need to. Why should I get let down? So I was alone one week. Big deal. God was walking with me, wasn't he? So when are you going to become the church? When are you going to stop waiting for the church to work for you? We have a call on our lives as a community. Let's fulfill it together. Let's take ownership. So I'm going to wrap up with this. If you're new to the faith, man, maybe this is your first taste. Maybe you stumbled in this morning, or maybe you're searching this morning. Have I said anything that makes a difference? I hope so. If not, let me say this. I personally have found Christ to be the one and only thing that gives me the purpose I was searching for in my life. He gives me a truth that has not changed and a future that cannot fade. That no matter what my instance is and around me, I know I'm an heir of the kingdom of God. No circumstance in my physical life can impact the hope I have in my eternal life with Christ. So yeah, sometimes life still sucks. Some people tell you accept Christ and life gets all better. It does inside, because it's almost like this. Here's the way I picture of living my life in Christ. It's like I used to play football when I was a kid, and it'd be like playing a football game. I knew I was going to win. Like, I knew at the end of the game that I blow the opponent out of the water. So I don't care if I get intercepted, if I fumbled, if I had the worst quarter in the world, I can kind of handle it because I know how the game ends. I go through life the same way now. Sometimes life still stinks. Sometimes I still fumble. Sometimes I have a huge play and we're celebrating. But I know in the end it wins. So I kind of can take this life and kind of roll with it. I hope that you this morning experience Christ. Because he's not just someone to read about. He's not just someone to hear about. He's someone to experience. He's real. He's alive. He's living. He raised after 3 days and beat death. Therefore, he is still around. He ascended to heaven. He's around. He's here. He wants you to experience him. Can I fully explain that? No, it's supernatural. I'm thankful I can't fully explain it, because then it would kind of suck. The cool part about it is I can't. He's beyond my words. But man, if you're in the faith this morning, you didn't stumble into it just recently, or you found what you're searching for, here's my prayer for you this morning. You take full ownership of your faith. You stop depending on the church and start being a church. You step up to the call that you have on your life. And I can't sit up here and I can't tell you what that is on your life. I may know you very well, and I probably still can't make that full call in your life. I might be able to help you find that. But we have this calling. We have to take ownership. If we don't, we're still just playing the game like I was for 8 years. And let's be honest, playing the game, it still left me unfulfilled. I had some moments of feeling good, but they were only fleeting moments. So we're going to go into prayer now, and we're just going to kind of pray and lift you guys up, and hopefully you can take that next step of faith. And afterwards, we're going to celebrate. It's kind of a solemn celebration, I guess, if you will, but it's a celebration that we are given this opportunity through Christ's blood and through his body. And that's what this bread and wine represents. A body was broken because of my sins. The mistakes I made in my life, a body had to be broken. Price had to be paid. There's a whole story behind why this had to happen. We'll get into the other messages. And blood was spilled so I could be sanctified, so I could hold the name of Christ, so I could lay hold of this treasure. That's what we celebrate this morning, and I think it's phenomenal that Christ left us with this mental picture and this way to join with him to do so. Let's just kind of lift him up, lift each other up now, and see what God has for us. Father God, you rock. And I guess that's not a usual prayer to say you rock, but it's just what I feel right now, that you're so good. Lord, you took me when I was at my lowest point in my life, when I deserved nothing good. Lord, I was hurting myself at the time. I was hurting the people around me. Yet you still took me in. You still hugged me. And you held me like a little child, and you just kind of said, son, it'll be all right. We'll get through this. And you took all the hurt away. I still feel it sometimes. I still feel the scars of that. Too often, I still want to visit those areas. But you call me back gently. Sometimes you need to call me back not so gently, but you still call me. And I love you for that. Lord, you called me to a place that I quit dabbling in loving you. Lord, you called me to a place that I quit just treating you. I didn't devote myself to you the way I need to devote myself to you. Lord, I felt like I was playing games with you, and the mental picture you give me of that is playing games with your spouse before you married him, Lord, and that's what I did to you. And you still called me back. Your unfailing love is amazing. So we give this time to you, Lord, as we honor that you chose to put yourself, the creator of the universe, the God of everything, put himself in human form to rectify that which was broken between us. And that's the big truth, isn't it? We can preach every Sunday morning on cool ideas and cool sermon topics, but it breaks down to your kingdom is coming. And you had it here on earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And now invite all of us to participate in that. And one day, there'll be eternity that we get to do so. I thank you for that, that you invite me to join you in that. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what we'll do. This communion we take, if you've acknowledged that this heaven is yours, that Christ is yours, you've taken ownership of it, this communion is for you to partake in. As you feel called to or you want to, come on up. If you don't feel necessary. I'll let you kind of follow your own heart in that manner. We have bread up here that's in cups. If you're not haven't been feeling well or you're sick, I ask you instead of pulling the bread off to grab one of the cups so we're not spreading anything around. 'Tis the season. But nonetheless, let's celebrate. This is a time of celebration. that we have eternity in us through Jesus Christ, through what was done for us. So let's celebrate. Let your heart rejoice. Let a smile be on your face. For though our sins are many, they are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Come up as you may.